God's lifestyle for you. Today we're going to discuss receiving every promise that God has given you. Every blessing, every promise. Is it possible to never miss out on His promises, on His blessings? Yes, it is possible. This is part of the lifestyle God has provided for His Christians. By what Jesus did on the cross, we have access to all the promises. Also, by the Word of God and being led by the Holy Spirit, we can have it all. Do you believe it? Do you want all that God has provided for you? If you do, follow me as I set a foundation. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, and want to read verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Also turn to Hebrews in the New Testament, and we're going to begin at chapter 6. That's Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll read one verse, verse 18. And it states, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now we know that God is not a man that he should lie. But we also know now that it's impossible for him to lie. Therefore, we should have great confidence in what God has told us and the things that He has promised us, because He cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. That is His character. Now, it's not only important that we know that God does not lie and He cannot lie. We must have faith in what He's told us and what He's promised us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. That's Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to begin at verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled and said, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen? Now, Jesus is saying that if we have faith and doubt not, therefore doubt hinders our faith. Now, we know that God does not lie. We know that it's impossible for Him to lie. So we should have great faith and great confidence in what He has said. And don't doubt what He said. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a famous scripture I know you all know. Hebrews chapter 11. We must have faith. And we're going to read two scriptures, two verses, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So, the substance of things hoped for. In another scripture, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we don't walk by our natural circumstances or the things that we see. We walk by the things that God has promised us, the things that He has said. That is what we have our faith in, not our circumstances or our environment. We walk, we believe, we trust in what God has told us. And again, we know that God does not lie, and we know that we must have faith and doubt not. Let's go to the scriptures for an example of faith. An example of the Lord really, or God just coming through for someone. Turn with me to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. And we're going to begin verse 1. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, this is the first time, it's a little hidden, but this is the first time that God promised Abram an heir. Because through his family, through him, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, we don't know how old Abram was. He could be 40 years old at this time. He could be 20. But God had made him a promise. Now, turn with me to Genesis. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis 21. And we're going to begin at verse 1. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abram circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." Now, let's say Abraham was 60 years old. We don't really know exactly how old he was when he first got the promise. But if he was 60 years old, and now he's if he was 40 years old, excuse me, and now he's 100 when Isaac was born, that's 60 years that he waited on a promise. 60 years that Abram had faith, that Abram waited on the Lord. But God kept his promise. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to talk about David. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, which is David, him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So, the background of this story, Saul had messed up with God. And Samuel was the prophet at that time. So God spoke to Samuel and said, "I have chosen someone else," because Saul had messed up. "And chosen of him someone else who's after my own heart. So go to Jesse, the sons of Jesse." So he went to Jesse, and Jesse brought his sons out. And of course, all but one. And as Samuel looked over all the sons, he said, "God has not chosen one of these. Do you have another son?" And Jesse said, "I do, but he's out in the field with the sheep." So, a long story short, they brought David out, and that was the one. This was the one that God had chosen. He was ruddy, he was young, a teenager probably. But God anointed him that he would be king over Israel. Now, turn with me to 2 Samuel, and we're going to go to chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David, to Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king of to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, that they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Amen. So David was 30 years old, but he was a teenager when he was anointed. Well, let's just say he was 21 years old. If he was 21 years old and he waited until he was the age of 30, he waited 9 years, even though he was anointed. He had to wait 9 years for it to come to pass, for it to be manifested. But God kept his promise. God is not a man that he should lie, neither son that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not, has he spoken, shall he not bring it to pass? He will bring it to pass. He will make it good. But let's go back to the story of the fig tree. As we read earlier, Jesus hungered, and he came to the fig tree. And he came to the fig tree because he hungered. But as the scriptures really revealed, as you read some other scriptures, that it really wasn't time for this fig tree to have fruit. But because this fig tree did not, but for some reason, Jesus cursed the fig tree, even though it was not time for the fig tree to have fruit. And of course, the fig tree withered away. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree when it wasn't time for it to have fruit? The Lord shared something with me. And it's an example of the way God looks at his Christians. According to the way God does things, he does things according by faith. For us, when we believe it, we have it. When God speaks it to us, we receive it. And then at the set time, it's manifested. So what happens is, when God comes to us, when he's looking at us, he expects faith. Now we may have great faith, we may have weak faith, but he expects faith. So, if God has promised us something, some of us will believe it right away. Some of us will say, well, I know it's coming. Some will say, well, I'm still praying for it, but I know it's going to happen. But we have faith. And that's what God is looking for. But it was so bad or so disappointing to him if we have no faith. To please God, we must have faith.